On this episode of the Out of Chicago podcast, I interview a whole bunch of flower and macro photographers because we were down at Mike Mote's macro photography conference and I talked to every instructor. So here we go. Welcome to the Out of Chicago podcast. I'm your host, Chris Smith, and this is the show where we connect you with your photography heroes. We introduce you to amazing photo locations, and we do everything we can to help you get the most out of your photography passion. Anne Belmont and I went down to Cleveland for Mike Mote's macro conference. Now, I went down there to hang out with the instructors, to hang out with all the attendees, to see what this whole thing was all about. And Anne Belmont went down because she was one of the instructors, and she was awesome. So while I was there, I'm like, you know what? Let's record a little bit from each one of these people to put it out for our podcast. So that's exactly what we did. So I talked for 5, 6, 7 minutes with each one of the instructors. I think there were 8 of them. I also talked with some of the people that were working there, Andrew from Tamron and Gary Farber from Hunts. And that's what we got for you today. So sit back, relax, enjoy. I told you that this is about connecting you with photography heroes. Well, these people are those photography heroes. They are awesome. Some of them have taught at our Flower and Garden Photography Conference, and some of them are going to be teaching at our upcoming Flower and Garden Photography Conference, which is going to be at Longwood Gardens next year. So look forward to that too. So let's get right into some interviews. So here we go. I'm here with Charles Needle, and you shoot all sorts of stuff. What is it? You just told me.
A bunch of close-ups, and do a lot of impressionism, iPhone photography. Love it all.
Yeah, and I was looking through some of your books, except now I think they're all sold out, right?
They are, yeah. Sold out of everything, which is good, because I don't have to take them home with me.
Right, ship them back or whatever, yeah. But all it takes is just one flip through one of your books is like, oh man, this guy's amazing. And it's totally different, yeah, than some other people.
I like to think outside the box,
yeah. And he's got great techniques, and he was teaching that at the event here. Just all different sorts of stuff, whether it's with your iPhone or with the camera, right?
That's right, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's amazing what you can do with an iPhone these days, but I also am passionate about macro photography, ways to take your imagery beyond the documentary and make images that would be unique to you and express yourself with.
Right. We're having so much fun here. It's Mike Mote's macro conference, and there's like 7 different presenters. I don't know, what is it to you that makes this special?
Oh, it's just awesome. We've got over 100 people here, I think it is. Yep. And this is the second time I've presented with Mike on this. And I just enjoy the synergy of creativity and passion. And it's just wonderful to be in a room with everyone that loves macro photography. And
everyone's on the same page,
we get to
right?
do a lot of hands-on together and help all the students out with really cool images right here in the conference.
Right, that's the best part. And it's been raining all weekend, but it doesn't bother
exactly.
us.
Exactly.
It's all inside.
Yep.
It's great.
Yep.
So you do a lot of your own workshops as well, too.
I right? do. Yeah. One of my most popular workshops, and I've been doing it over 20 years, is taking people to Giverny, France, and we go into Monet's garden with private access. Early morning, before it opens, we're in there with the gardeners while they're piddling around for 2 hours, and then we go in the evening for another 2 hours after it closes, and I have to pinch myself every time I'm in there. You can feel Monet's spirit when you're in there without all the hordes of tourists, and
right.
people really appreciate the opportunity to slow down and make some great images without people in the way.
That is so cool.
And we actually stay in the village of Giverny for the entire week. It's a whole week.
Man.
So, yeah.
When do you do those?
I do those usually in the spring. This year I did one with Freeman Patterson in early September.
So cool.
Gorgeous. The garden looked completely different in the early fall versus the spring. I do it in the summer sometimes as well, but next year is going to be in 2018 in May. And you can go to my website to learn more about it.
Awesome, awesome. And you do workshops all over. We don't have to go as far as...
Oh, yes. Yeah. I mean, if you want to come to Cape Cod, Massachusetts, and, you know, see some gardens there, I do that. I love the Bouchard Gardens in Victoria, Canada. I do the Smoky Mountains of Tennessee, Texas wildflowers, Oregon coast, you name it, all over the place.
Yeah. And now those all sound great, but the thing I'm most excited about is that you're going to be in Chicago in June next
exactly.
year.
Exactly. I'm so excited about being a part of Out of Chicago. This will be the first time for me, and I'm just real excited to come and share with people some really new creative ideas. And
we haven't even talked really about this, but what types of things do you think people can expect?
Well, like I said, with the iPhone, love the iPhone. Those who want to learn about that, there's all kinds of cool apps out there, things you can do with the capture part, even with photography. And then there's, of course, a lot of impressionism that I'm happy to share, and tips on, you know, macro photography if we go to a garden, which we will, from my
there's
understanding.
Stuff in the area.
So summer will be a perfect time to be in Chicago for all of that. And I'm real excited.
Yeah,
I'm thrilled that you've invited me.
Yeah, it's going to be so much fun. Yeah. We might make you shoot some impressionistic architecture as well while
Absolutely.
We're there.
Absolutely, sure. You can do really amazing things with buildings.
And, for sure, for sure. That'll be really fun.
Yeah.
So this has been great here. We're going to have you there in June.
Yeah, very excited.
It's going to be really good. If people want to see your work and see what we've been talking about, right, because this is audio.
That's right, sure.
Where
they can
go
to charlesneedlephoto.com, and my last name is without an S on the end, so it's Charles Needle, N-E-E-D-L-E, photo.com. And I'm also going to be co-teaching in the spring in Holland with Deb Sandage, who's also going to be with me in June
That's
in Chicago.
Right. That's right.
So if you want a chance to be with both of us together at the same workshop,
well,
Deb's going to do some stuff on night photography and slow motion, etc. In Amsterdam.
And
she's never been to Amsterdam. So all the bicycles and all of that will be amazing with some of her techniques. And then we'll transition over to the Kuchenhof Gardens and do all the tulip fields and windmills and things like that. So
jealous.
Yeah, so I think the two of us will make a great pair.
Yeah,
so,
we'll put you guys together in Chicago, too. We'll do the impressionistic
there you
buildings
go.
And flowers together.
Exactly.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Yeah,
and,
thank
we'll
you.
See you in June.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks, Charles. I'm here with Jamie Konarski-Davidson, and she's one of the presenters at Mike Moat's Macro Conference. So welcome to our podcast, Jamie.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for doing this. What did you present on?
I
saw it, but I want you to say it, not me.
I presented on Unleashing the Artist.
Tell us a little more. Like, this is like your specialty, right? Tell us about your whole, tell us your whole thing. Tell us everything. Go.
My whole thing. God. That's terrible.
No, just keep going.
The idea is to, from my perspective, is to spend time with your subject, get to know what it is that you find attractive and interesting with the subject before you even put the camera on the tripod.
Yeah, I love that.
To find your best angles, to take your time, to slow down, to connect with your subject, and connect in a way that you can transfer that connection into your image and out to the viewer.
Yeah, there's so many times when you walk by something and it catches your eye and you're like, oh, that's so cool. And then you start shooting and you get home and you're like, well, that was no good. But you really got to figure out what was it that made it so special and really make that part of your image. And I love what you're saying, that you don't just set up on your tripod and start shooting. You got to find all the different angles and find the best way to present it. Yeah, I think you said like, I'm not sure that was you that said it, but like just to find, like, even people have like a best side.
Yes.
And so to find the best side of your subject and the best angle to shoot it from.
Yeah, I mean, if you just start shooting, then you might miss something that's really special. So stepping back, sitting down, when you get stuck, if you just sit down and kind of let the moment be what it is, then certain subjects will just kind of come out to you and present themselves. And they're things that you would not have seen had you not kind of chilled out.
Yeah. And you're in, where are you, North
Carolina? I'm in Greenville, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. And you do workshops and you teach this and you teach this type of photography. What kind of stuff do you do?
I do. I teach and lead workshops in the Southeast primarily. I don't know, four or five different states. I also do one-on-one. I do my own workshops. I usually teach with another person, but I also do my own workshops that focus on digging deeper and going deeper into your own photography and, kind of focusing on the moments and really really not being in a hurry to go here, there, and everywhere, but really just being where you are and being present.
And the sense that I get is that the ultimate goal of the whole thing is not just to create a beautiful image, but that it's part of the experience is part of what you're going for too. And it's almost not life-changing, but sure. That it affects you.
It does. It does. I photograph for myself first, and it's personal, and I have a passion for a lot of different things, but particularly the little things, the things that people might miss, mm-hmm. are the things that that really resonate for me. And I think it's important that anyone photographs what they connect with the most and not try to listen to what the rules are and how they should or shouldn't.
Don't shoot just to win your camera club competition.
That's right. That's right. That's right. If that's the way you shoot, then really you're doing yourself a disservice. And
what was the thing you said? It was one of your bullet points about don't just shoot to win it, or how did you put it?
Oh gosh.
It was something like that though, right?
Yeah.
These shouldn't be the reasons you're shooting to win the competition.
Yes. The things that we sometimes tell ourselves, not me, because I've stopped doing that a long time ago, but I hear a lot of people say, well, right. Nobody will like this. I won't win. It won't win.
Exactly.
And my response to that, number one, is so what? Who are you photographing for? Who did you invest? Why did you invest all the money that you have in the gear? It's not for anyone else but you. So photograph and please yourself first. And when you put yourself in the image and it comes out, then people will connect with that. And whether you win or not, you have a successful image because you are in it and you are out of it.
Mm-hmm. And you'd connect with people.
Yeah,
I totally agree.
Exactly.
Yeah. But I think you also said something like, if you say that you're just shooting to win it, that those people should stick a towel in their mouth?
Oh, yes.
Yes, I did.
Stop it. Just stop it. Just stop. Stop trying to win, because that's not the goal.
Oh, I love
that. The goal is to be a better photographer in wherever your passion is, whether it's in macro or landscape or frogs and bugs or birds or wildlife, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Forget about winning.
Yeah,
enjoy the moments.
It, other people will love it too.
Yeah.
And then you'll connect with them, and don't just shoot for them.
And be the best you. Mm. Spend time with people and places and things that inspire you. Learn from others. Don't try to be them, but learn from them so that you can then put your own stamp and your own voice in with those different techniques and styles.
And that's what's been so great about this event, mm-hmm. is getting to hear everyone's different thing, and different people connect with you in different ways. But not only that, but then you get to go and shoot too. He's got it all set up, so there's places to shoot, and everyone's helping each other. And
I did my shooting before the event, but yeah, it's great. This has given me ideas on things that I can do at home, or, sorry Mike, but bring to the table. When I'm doing something where people are stuck, I can kind of give them ideas.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, so if people are interested in seeing your images, because we're just talking right now, this is just audio, and they want to find out about learning more about these things in your workshops, where do they go?
They can go to www.newlifephotos.com. I'm also on Facebook under Jamie Konarski-Davidson, as well as New Life Photos by Jamie Konarski-Davidson.
Perfect.
It's a mouthful.
We'll put links to all those in the show notes of the podcast. So
great. Thank you
very much for doing this.
Thank you.
All right. And so great to meet you, too.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Thanks, Jamie.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, I'm here with Andrew Martin of Tamron. Thanks for joining me on the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to be here.
Yeah, so you're here at the Macro Conference for Tamron and supporting the Macro Conference. What kinds of things are people interested in?
Yeah, well, obviously, the big interests are macro lenses.
Right,
dedicated macro.
Macro Conference.
Yeah, yeah. So we currently have two macro lenses that will give you a one-to-one life-size macro ratio. We make a 60mm f2. Which is designed for the APS-C sensors.
Mm-hmm. The crops.
The crop, yep. And then a 90mm f2.8 VC, that's a vibration compensation lens that is designed for full frame, also work on crop, obviously. So that's been the one that has drawn the most attention. It's the newest technology. Mm-hmm. It's weather sealed. It's got, like I said, vibration compensation, give you three stops of compensation. newest autofocus system. So yeah, real winner on that one.
Yeah, no, I love it with the vibration compensation, image stabilization, whatever you want, vibration reduction, whatever you want to call it. I love that on the macro lenses because you're at the point if you don't have it where you can almost hand hold it, and then as soon as you have it, you know, you can hand hold a lot of your macro shots.
Sure, as long as you have enough light. Obviously, you know, working off a tripod for macro photography is great, but you know, if you're walking around doing street photography, or you know, you're in a place where tripods aren't allowed,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or just not convenient. Well, it's nice to have that three and a half stops of compensation. So,
like Ann Belmont, stuff. She has a tripod. She hardly ever uses it. So when she's out shooting in the garden, there's a lot of light. She might have a diffuser, but she is shooting handheld 95% of the time. So to have that really helps to keep things steady. Not just to keep the final shot steady, but just so that it looks stable through the viewfinder when you're trying to compose everything if you're shooting a handheld.
Yeah,
so.
You know, with macro photography, you're working in such a small area that
sometimes a little bit of shake is really magnified through the viewfinder, and that really helps just to line it up. But that's the great thing about these events is that not only are there classes going on, but they're shooting. So Mike's got all the tables set up and everything, and they can just come out to you, borrow the stuff, and try it out right here.
Oh, yeah. It's been great. I mean, the other, you know, our other most popular lens this weekend is our new 18-400 all-in-one zoom.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it's the biggest zoom range that's ever been made.
Was this just announced, or?
It came out at the end of the summer, end of July.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's been in such high demand, you know, that the production's been a little constrained. We've been cranking out as many as possible, but
too popular.
Yeah. So I mean, a good problem to have.
Yeah, right.
No, but we also want to make sure we get it into the stores and get into the hands of our photographers. So,
right. Is that a lens that Mike Motes uses now? I know
they
always used.
Yep, he's been shooting with that one for the last month or so.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, our all-in-one zoom lenses and a lot of our other zoom lenses do have some really good close focus capability. So. The new 18-400, like the previous 16-300, which is still around, has a macro capability of 1-2.9. So you can shoot at 400 millimeter, 17.7 inches away, get a third life-size macro, and do some really cool stuff. So,
right, and Mike always stresses that. He goes, I'm a close-up photographer. I'm not a macro photographer, really. He hardly ever uses a macro lens, but he's getting great close-ups. I mean, it's not close-ups of bug eyes and stuff like that, but it's really those beautiful just close-up shots, I guess.
Yeah. But the possibilities that, you know, a lens like that opens up to you, you know, especially if someone travel photography, you know, you're walking around, you've got 18 millimeter for wide cityscape landscape stuff, zoom into 400 for, you know, wildlife or details on buildings, and then you've got third life-size macro for the close-up work, you know, you see, you know, flowers or cool little, you know, details and doorknobs or whatever on the street that you're walking around.
And you don't have to change
lenses. All your bases covered.
It's all right there.
$649. I mean, you can't beat that price.
Is that the price?
Yeah.
$649.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so
that's great.
A lot packed into that bundle.
Yeah. And I'm sure Gary Farber would sell you one if you needed it here at the event. Yeah.
He'd be happy to, I'm sure.
Of course.
Yeah.
So yeah, you guys, Tamron's always been awesome for us, supporting us. You guys were just with us. You were just with us in Acadia.
Yeah,
that was great.
In Acadia, it was awesome.
People were borrowing the 15-30. Is that right?
15-30 was really popular there. Our new 24-70 G2.
Mm-hmm.
That one has just been going gangbusters as well. Just won Lucy Tech Award at Photo Plus.
Great.
So that's been doing really well for us.
Yeah, so we always appreciate having you guys there. Like, even when we're in Chicago, it's like you can borrow the stuff, take it out on the street, shoot the building, shoot the people. That sounds bad, shooting people in Chicago, but
photographing people in Chicago.
Does sound bad, but all right. Well, thank you very much for doing this. And,
absolutely.
Thanks for supporting the event.
Here. Always love it.
All right, very good.
Great.
Thanks, Andrew.
Chris.
I'm here with the man, Mike Motes.
The man.
He's made this whole thing happen. We got about an hour and a half or so left of the Mike Motes Macro Conference.
That's right.
So, everything's gone great.
Yeah, I'm real happy with the speakers were awesome.
Speakers were awesome.
Everybody that I talked to that came up to me after the conference was done with the speaker portions were saying that they were just amazed.
Yeah.
They learned so much. they're inspired, and that's what this is all about.
Yeah, absolutely. And the key is the variety of people that you got.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's some overlap, and it's almost like reinforces stuff, but yeah. The fact that everyone sees kind of the same thing, it's all macro, but sees it from their own perspective is what makes it really cool.
Yeah, and that was always something that I thought was like everybody does it the same, right? And then when I started these 4 years ago, and I started listening to the speakers that I was bringing in, it was like, wow. I never knew that, or wow, that's different than the way I do it. And that's what's so great about bringing a group of speakers together for a conference like this, is that everybody that attends is exposed to a different style and a different thought process.
Right, right.
And that's what makes it so great.
And we get some of that with our summer conference, but it's a little even crazier, right?
Oh, I mean, yeah, because you cover a whole
We cover everything almost, yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, but that's one of my favorite things, though, is when I've got people that shoot architecture and street photography, and they go, well, I just signed up and did Mike Motes' thing, and I'm converted. I'm a flower photographer.
Yeah,
now.
Right.
It's
right.
Crazy.
Or it could be the other way. It could be a macro photographer goes a street photographer, now becomes a street photographer.
Exactly. Yeah. For sure. So this was the first fourth year you've done the event, right?
Yeah, the first one that I did was in Seekonk. Well, the last three were in Seekonk, Massachusetts. And when I did the first one, it's a lot of work, because if anybody knows about running conferences, there's a group of people.
I know about running conferences.
You know. So you've got a group of people that help you. Yeah. Well, this is me running the whole thing myself.
Right, right.
So it's a lot of work. And when I did the first one, I wasn't sure I would want to do any more, but I did want to do at least one, just to get the feel of doing it and see what it's like. But what inspired me to keep doing it was that when the people were leaving on Sunday, the response and how happy they were and how inspired they were, I got to do it again.
Right, you don't want to disappoint.
Yeah, and each one goes really well, and you get that same response, and you're looking forward to next year. I'm already looking forward to next year and new speakers and all that kind of stuff.
Right. So you've done your macro boot camps, like a weekend workshop all over the country. What inspired you to want to do the conference in the first place?
To bring more speakers together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're just hearing me at my workshop.
Right.
But I want to expose them to other macro photographers. Now, most people would say, why would you want to expose them to your competition? Right?
Sure.
Uh-huh. I'm not afraid of that. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
There's room for all of us out here. And so... I have no problem with bringing people in and having my followers follow these people, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so too many photographers don't want to work with other photographers and work together to help each other.
Right.
And so I've always been the type that I promoted other macro photographers, and I don't have any problem with it. And it helps the people that follow me become better photographers. And that's what it's all about.
That's right. You're trying to help people.
Yeah.
So we're doing fifth annual? Is that happening?
Yeah. I'm hoping to do it again here next year.
Okay.
It all depended on if they can cut me the same deal on the pricing and all that. You know,
of course,
as long as they don't raise the price way up, I'd like to come back. Because I'd like to do at least 2 years here. And this can go anywhere in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't have to just be in Massachusetts or Cleveland. It can be anywhere.
Well, that's the best part about this. You make everything so easy. This never happened at one of my events, but it's rained the entire weekend, but it didn't affect us at all.
I know. And I try to find a hotel near an airport.
Right.
Because we had people from 19 different states, which is amazing to me, right?
Yeah.
19 different states. And you want it so that they can fly in, get a shuttle to the hotel, because the hotel is awesome.
Mm, yeah, this place is
great.
Shuttle
every 15 mm-hmm. minutes, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. So a person doesn't have to rent a car or even pay an Uber.
Right.
You know, and so the easier you can make it for people to get there and the cheaper, you have a better chance of pulling people
in. That's right.
And last year we had people from 23 different states, which just blows my mind. you know, usually a conference is kind of regional and it pulls from the area.
Mm-hmm.
But we got people from all over the country. Had a lady from Hawaii last year. It blows me away.
No, this is the only place that's doing it in the world. There's no other macro photography classes.
Yeah, and it's probably what helps bring people in, because there just isn't anything offered to them outside of
It's a special, unique thing.
Yeah.
So do you have any details on next year? Do you know anything yet? Any dates or speakers?
It'll be similar to the dates of this year, probably the last week. It's you know, Hunt's Photo, who's been a great sponsor and a great promoter of this program.
I interviewed Gary. Yep, we talked all about it. Yep.
Yeah, he's just so good. I have to work with his schedule. See, I can't be booking mine on a weekend when he's got another big conference.
Right.
Because in reality, mine's only 100 people, where he could go to another conference with 500 people. Mm-hmm. And so I can't compete with that. And I understand that. So I need to work with Gary's date. So I'll look at next year's, what he's going to be doing, and see if we can work out, you know, around the same time. I like this time of year to do this. And
kind of end of October.
Yeah.
Kind of we're looking at. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I've been looking at speakers, different speakers I've talked to already. Joe McDonald is one, and Denise Ippolato, and Kathleen Clemens again. There's Don, I can never mention, say his last name. It's Kemarucka or something like that.
Komarechka.
Komarechka.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
how do you know that? He's a phenomenal speaker.
The snowflake guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he presented it a couple years ago at CCon, and the whole crowd was like blown away by this guy. Really? He's like 20 some years old, I think, and he's like a genius.
Yeah, he's like a physics science guy.
I've never seen anybody present as well as this kid.
Really?
And so I talked to him and I says, we're in Cleveland, and he kind of measured, looked out the miles and how long it would take him to drive there. And he goes, yeah, I can do Cleveland. I go, okay. So, you know, hoping maybe if it works out with his schedule and our schedule, that we can get him back here.
Well, we're getting him to Chicago now after that recommendation.
Well, I found out about him from the Niagara Frontier Conference up in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. And the guy who runs that, Doug Hansgate, told me, he says, you know what? He says, if you want a guy that's like top notch for this macro type stuff, you got to get this kid out of Canada. And so I contacted him and enticed him to come to our program, and he was just phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard him on a bunch of podcasts. He really knows what he's doing.
So there's a lot of good speakers still out there that I haven't brought in, because every year I try to change up the speakers.
That's great. Yeah. And there's a couple that you've had like back a second time, but other than that,
There's a couple
people
that are really well known, and you know, a really really good draw.
Yeah.
You know, like a Tony Sweet that was there a couple times. Kathleen's been there a couple times, and those are people that we're coming into a new area. So people want to go and see, you know, those speakers. So we bring some back, but usually try to bring in new blood and keep it fresh, you know, so that hopefully the people that were here this year might attend next year also, because they're seeing new people.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, so if we want to find, I'll edit that part. Tell us your new big thing is your photo club.
Yeah, the Macro Photo Club is something I've been working on for a couple of years with the intention of doing a whole program strictly video. Me in the field, instructing from the field rather than showing a picture on a screen and talking about it, trying to explain it. It's the best way to learn that we can teach online. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I would love to take people out in the field with me and actually do it, but who's gonna come from Montana or, you know, Colorado or something to Michigan to see me shoot in the field?
Well, that, and you can only do a certain number of people at once.
Exactly. So. The online thing with the videos, we can bring in a lot more people. We can charge way, way less than we can if I have to do a personal one-on-one or a group even. And the videos are going to be a much better way to teach and instruct. And so for a couple of years, I've been slowly just working on videos, putting them together. And now it started in August. You know, my intention was like, like to get 100 people. Well, in 2 months, we had 400 people signed
up.
It's $39 for a year membership. You get 12 videos each month, about 7 or 8 of me in the field. You get 2 videos of post-processing, a couple of videos of equipment, and then a video on critiques, so the people in the club can send me images. I do 10 critiques each month. We have a Facebook group that's called Mike Motes Macro Photo Club, and so any of the members can be on there. We've got over 200 members on there posting images, and we have a monthly theme that they can go out and shoot and post their images on the group. We've got enough sponsors so that we can give away a product every month to our, we can raffle off to our members every month. So we've given away tripods and Hoodman loops, and this month is a lens flipper and I forget something else. So, and some months we're giving away 2 things. So, and any new benefits that I come up with, we'll throw them in there too, and you know, hope that we give as much value we can for $39. Come on.
Yeah, no,
where are you gonna learn what you're gonna learn in this for $39?
Yeah, that's great. I can't believe how many videos you're doing too. It's a lot every month.
Well, what I'm doing now is everything I go out to shoot, which, you know, most photographers are out shooting, I'm videoing every single thing I shoot, and so the content is not a problem. I don't have any problem finding content and shooting stuff. So
wow.
Yeah. I've already got like 200 videos already in the can, so to speak. So I got enough to go the next year without shooting a video. So,
yeah, that's great. So where do we go if we want to find out about all the stuff you got going on?
You know, those that have followed me over the years probably were kind of confused because I had a Tiny Landscapes website, and then I had a blog over here, and then I had a storefront over here.
I remember, And
so now it's all in one spot. You know, the blog, the workshops, the Macro Photo Club, my images are all under just tinylandscapes.com. And so you can sign up there, view my images. Workshops, I haven't really scheduled much for next year yet, but that'll be up pretty soon. And so you can see any workshops where I'm going to be doing the macro boot camps around the country. And hopefully if you live in those areas, you might attend one of those. So
absolutely. All right, perfect.
Thank you very much. Sounds like everything's going great.
You're working hard and making people happy. So nice job, Mike.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for doing this.
Yep.
So I'm here with Bob Kuznick, and he's come to a whole bunch of our stuff, and did New York, did Summer, right?
Yes, Summer.
And is a big Ann Belmont fan, we knew that.
Yes.
But we're here at Mike Mode's Macro Conference, and tell us all about it. What's your favorite part?
It's great because you get to see go to each class individually, and then on the second half, we break down, and it's all hands-on. It is phenomenal.
It's the key to me, right?
Yeah,
is that you learn, but then you get to try it immediately. If you don't get to practice, you're not going to learn.
Right. And it's like the old saying, practice, practice, practice. And that's what we're doing here, along with the instructional classroom setting.
Right. And every speaker's so different, right?
Oh,
you
yes.
kind of get a little bit of, what were a couple of your favorite parts you got from the speakers?
I would say some of Annie's stuff I enjoyed. Actually, I took bits and pieces from
That's what I'm saying. So give me like a couple little bits and pieces, remember?
Mike Moat's little technique with manual focusing with live view.
Right. That's how I do it too. Yep.
You know, in fact, I'm doing a lot of manual focusing now over autofocusing. Because sometimes your lens will keep on searching.
Right.
Depending on your subject.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, let's see. What else? Shooting wide.
Because
you don't think of macro as shooting wide,
right.
Also. So many different things and so many different styles of shooting. And then some of the Nik software.
Right. All different, right?
Yeah.
But you get a piece or two from each one of those,
yep,
and it really changes
great.
The way you shoot.
And then you shoot in your own style.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then go from there.
That's right. Fantastic.
You know, so.
Thank you very much, Bob.
All right. No problem.
All right, I'm here with Jack Graham, the world famous or maybe infamous. Jack Graham.
Infamous is the word.
So thanks for joining us.
Hey, it's really great to be here. Where are we? Middleburg Heights, Ohio. It's just outside of Cleveland.
Yeah.
And weather's changed. It's fall.
We're feeling it now, right? But we're here at Mike Mode's Macro Conference, and the way Mike makes everything super easy, right?
He does.
It's rained the entire time, and that hasn't stopped us from doing anything because it's all inside.
It's all inside.
Yeah.
I was here last week doing a workshop.
Fall colors, right?
3 days of bright sunlight and no fall color. The color didn't hit till mid last week after everybody left. But, you know, not everybody gets to shoot in prime conditions all the time, so it was a good experience for.
That's the teachable moment,
our
right?
For folks to deal with what you're dealt. And we made it happen, and they make great photographs. So
yeah.
It's all good.
You've been teaching and leading this stuff for how long now?
This will be 24 years.
It's crazy. And you said you do how many years. In a year usually?
Well, you know, every year I say I'm going to back off, and I'm not going to do as many. But this year I did 24 workshops.
That's crazy.
I do a number of them on my own. I do quite a few with my dear friend Bill Fortney.
Yep.
There's some other events that are Fuji film oriented, and then some that aren't. And, you know, it's busy, but this is what I do. I love what I do. I'm gone a lot. I get to meet great people like here. And those of you who know me know, excuse me, I like to talk a lot, and I get to talk here, and I get to just talk about photography and meet great people. And
yeah, and you just did your talk. What was your talk at?
My talk was on Americana. It was on things that are rusty and things that you see like on the show Pawn Stars and right, American yep. Pickers and stuff, and also some things out of the harbors. And I live in the West Coast, so the fishing fleet, the nets, the hooks, the stuff like that. It makes you learn how to see a little bit, and they don't move.
Right.
And it's fun. So, yeah. So I just finished that talk. We'll do a little bit shooting today, and then Mike and I are taking the group out tomorrow into the field for a day. And it's supposed to be cloudy, which will be great. Great light. The color's going to be good. So we'll have a great day tomorrow.
Yeah.
And back to on the West Coast on Tuesday. So.
Yeah. How long have you been? It's an official Fuji X photographer.
Oh, that's a good question. Let's see. Probably about 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably going on 2 years. And, you know, I mean, they make great products. Their glass is just amazing. It's lighter than most products.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you still have to make the photograph. So they make great products. It's a little bit less to carry around. The lenses are tack sharp. They listen to their customer, and they constantly are improving their product. But you know, like I say, you still have to make the photograph.
That's right.
That's what I do, is try to get people to understand the nuances of the difference between a good photograph and a average photograph. It's usually not a lot. It's usually something pretty minor. Anyhow, so it's all good.
So all these workshops, someone wants to join you in a workshop, where do we go to find out about what you got going
well,
on?
Well, let's see. You can go to my website, which is jackgrahamphoto.com. All my schedule is up for next year already. All 20, I think there's 23 next year.
Wow.
Got some new locations. Going to the Badlands and Route 66, and we'll be at Acadia next fall.
Nice.
You know, I'm in the Sierra in the fall, and it's always a great time there. And, you know, it's another year. I can't believe how fast the time goes. It's an amazing thing. And I'm now working on 2019, so.
That's how you got to do it, right?
That's how you got to do it.
Well, that's awesome. All right, thank you very much for joining me, and
yeah,
had a great time here at the conference.
Everybody go out and have some fun. Get your camera out and enjoy the beautiful fall here in the United States.
That's right. All right. Thanks, Jack.
Cool. Thank you.
Great. I'm here with Verena Patel of, what are you of? Of
Visual Wilderness.
Visual Wilderness.
No.
Visual Wilderness.
I am Verena Patel of Visual Wilderness. I am not Verena Patel of Jane Verena. So you're going to erase that bit, right?
No, but you just said it and corrected it. So I think we're good. Yes.
I'm just kidding. Yeah.
So Verena's here with Jay, and they're both amazing landscape photographers. But Verena is here to talk about macro photography, and right, because it's Mike Moat's macro conference.
Right.
What did you teach in your thing?
I taught post-processing in NIC. In Silver FX Pro, and it was super fun.
It was really good too. Like I felt like watching that you knew what you were doing.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. That was the impression that
I got. That's pretty huge, actually.
Yeah, it was good. So this whole conference is really cool. There's just like 7 different presenters.
Right.
And it's all macro photography, which is really fun that it's one specific thing. And then at the end, everyone goes and shoots, right?
Yeah, and that's the best part.
Yeah.
Anne Belmont was showing everybody the lens babies, and they were having so much fun because they're photographing these gorgeous flowers, and they're all set up with pretty backgrounds, and it was just awesome.
Yeah, but how great to have a small group of people and all these phenomenal photographers helping them with each little bit or whatever.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Or were you talking about the other photographers are phenomenal?
I'm saying you're phenomenal. Yeah.
Thanks. I was saying thanks, but then I was afraid that maybe I was...
None of this is being edited, by the way.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's a bummer.
Great. Could you please edit a little?
tell us what you normally do, though. Like, what's your guys' thing?
I am normally a landscape photographer.
You are. Yeah.
I am normally a landscape photographer, but I do a lot of macro because I love macro. And we travel, Jay and I, travel all over the world. We do video courses. We do We film on location, so in some of the most beautiful places in the world, it's amazing to
be
able to
do that.
I was
just watching one of your videos, and it's not like, oh, here I am with the selfie camera, look at my pictures. It was pretty phenomenal.
I really hope not.
The work that goes into those.
Yeah, we try really hard to, you know, produce a professional product that's worth people's money, you know, and we're trying to teach as much as we can, but the goal is kind of to produce a video where we're teaching on location and showing you what we're doing in the field. So it's not, you know, we're not just standing there staring at the camera and going, you know, this is a lens and this is how this is what you should do. Right, right. As you know, PowerPoints can be great, but if you can watch what we're doing, you know, like actually see what our hands are doing, what buttons we're pushing, what our thought process is. Maybe that's the most important part, you know, that thought process of figuring out which shutter speed we're going to use and experimenting with different apertures and deciding whether or not we're going to use a tripod. We almost always use a tripod, but, you know, just all that stuff, which filter and why, and what the result is in camera right there. You know, I think it's invaluable to have that because it's easy to go online and find information about just about anything, but it's really hard to find somebody that you can watch while they work. And that's how I learn best.
And I think nowadays more you can get that on YouTube, but it's more like, here's my great adventure and here's one little tip that's in there. What you guys are doing is really instructional. It's like from the beginning to the end on one technique, exactly what to do.
Right. Yeah. We try to be really down to earth and we try to make it simple, break it down into little parts instead of just trying to prove that we understand the technical side of it to you. You know, it's really not about that. We all started at the beginning, every single one of us. And our assumption is that, you know, you don't necessarily know this stuff and that's okay because we didn't know it either at one point and we just want it to be easy because it's so much fun. We want to share that with people.
Yeah. No,
I don't know.
No, it's great. Yeah. And you guys are so much fun to hang out with. And
Yay. Thanks. Yeah. You're kind of fun awesome. To hang out with, too.
Yeah. People already know that, though.
It's just a love fest over here. I don't know.
Whatever.
It's getting kind of weird, actually.
So, actually, the thing that I'm most excited about is that you and Jay are going to join us for Out of Moab next year in October, October 5th through the 9th. It's on your calendar, right? October 5th through the 9th, 2018, with all our fabulous photographers. You're going to be hanging out with us. And while you're out there, you're going to do some videos as well.
Yes.
So that's part of the deal. And it's going to be really cool. It's going to be great for everyone.
I feel a little badly because I said no at first. And then I changed my mind. So, yeah, we're going to go out. We're going to speak out there. And yeah. So we're excited about it. It's going to be fun because Moab is amazing. It's one of those places where you can't take 10 steps without... I don't know. It's like, I live in Ohio. You know, Ohio is beautiful. If you took some of that stuff from Ohio,
and shot in
Utah,
Cleveland, downtown Cleveland last night. No,
it's
awesome.
It's gorgeous, right?
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you took some of those like sandstone formations that you get in Moab and around Moab, right? And you brought them to Ohio, they would put a fence around it and they would charge admission. But you know, I don't know. In Utah, like, that's just what's around the corner. Mm-hmm. You know, they're like, oh, you know, go past the three arches and like the balanced stone and you'll see our house on the right. You know, it's like, no, but it is. It's a gorgeous place and we've been there a few times and we love it. And didn't you guys say you were going to do some night photography?
There's a lot of night photography.
Yeah. So Jay and I went out there once. And it was probably our best date ever. It was like 70 degrees. It was after dark. It was beautiful. It was just the two of us. We were photographing the Triple Arch in Arches National Park. And we had like a long exposure set up or, you know, a series of exposures to capture star trails. Mm-hmm. And we just lay there letting our cameras fire off, watching the stars under the arch. How awesome is that?
Yeah.
I don't know that the workshop's going to be quite like that, but you know, just saying, you know,
yeah, like
it's
very
an amazing
romantic
place.
With like your 10 or 12 favorite people. Yeah.
It might be a little less weird than that, but yeah, it's going to be really cool.
Yeah,
so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic. All right.
Yeah,
so nice to meet you, Brina.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah. Where do we go to find you online and you and Jay?
Yeah. Visualwilderness.com.
All right.
We're there.
That's great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, I'm here with my buddy Gary Farber. He's one of the owners at Hunt's Photo and Video in the Boston area. How you doing, Gary?
Good. How you doing today?
Doing great. So you're here at the Macro Conference, Mike Motes Macro Conference. You've always supported him in all of his events here. Is that right?
That's correct. I've been doing this for, he started this about 4 years ago. He called me on the phone, asked me about his adventure and what he thought about it, and I said it was a great idea. There's nobody in the country doing what he's doing. And we hooked up and here we are today.
That's right. Yeah, it's over 100 people just shooting macro close-up photography, and you got all the gear that they need and supporting the whole thing. And Gary's always supported our events. He's done the summer conference, and he was just with us in Acadia and everything else we've done. And he's been a huge, huge help. There's no way we could do what we do without him here. You're good. So tell us a little bit about Hunt's.
So Hunt's is a family-owned business. We've been around since 1889. We started off in a small little drugstore, and we kind of branched out. We branched out about 45 years ago and became a dedicated full-line camera store. Might have actually been 55 years ago. I've lost count. But anyway, we're now one of the leading camera stores in the country. Hunt's prides ourselves more than just price. It's more about personal relationships, the personal touch, the personal service. To me, relationships is very, very important to me, and I'm all about building rapport, building relationships, and getting people to contact me and build that thing so I get to know them on a first-name basis.
Well, that's the best part. I mean, you go to some of these other places, or you go on Amazon or whatever, you just type it in, you never talk to anyone, you don't get any advice along the way, you don't get to know anyone. But I've gotten to know Gary, and like I just call him up or call up Albert, and hey, I want to get this, and they help me out, and they know everything that I need to go along with it, and great people to work with there.
Thank you.
Yeah. So we're going to see you at our summer conference this year, right?
Yep, summer conference, which is June 22nd and 24th.
Correct? Very good. Nice. Good. Yeah, you've been telling everyone. Good job, Gary. And then he's going to come out also. Hey, we got a new thing. We haven't really announced it yet, but we're going to do a garden photography conference. Hopefully you come do that. That's going to be in August. And then you're going to come out with us in Moab, too. You're going to be there for at least part of our Moab event. So we're super excited to have you out there because, I mean, that's the thing. We were just in Acadia and people are like, oh, I'm missing this, I don't have this, I just tried this new thing, because we got people there letting them borrow lenses and cameras, and Gary's right there willing to make a sale too, right?
Oh, anytime. Yes, one of the things I do with all the conferences I go to is I always try to reach out to the speakers, find out exactly what they're going to be talking about, and make sure I have that stuff on hand. I usually try to get the organizers to send out an email to all the attendees, letting them know if there's any special requests that you guys want me to bring, whether it be a filter or a memory card or a $1,000 lens or whatever you guys need. If you email me in advance, if I have it in stock, I can bring it right to your conference, so you don't have to worry about anything or trying to get it ordered before the show, et cetera. Right.
Yeah, because that's one of the worst things. You watch a presenter and they're like, oh, I would never be able to shoot without this. And you're like, oh, I need one of those. And then, you know, you don't have to order it. Gary's got them right there. So that always works out great for us. Well, thanks for all your help and support in the past, Gary. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
All right.
And I appreciate it. And if you guys ever need anything, I'm available by email. My email address is digitalguygary@dybhunt.com. I'm available pretty much 24/7. I answer all my emails and all my calls. So if you're listening out to this and you want to reach out to me and just tell me you heard about this and you want to reach out to me, build a relationship with me, I'm welcome to. So thank you.
Yeah. So the email is digitalguygary@wbhunt.com. And
yes.
I love the story behind it because before digital, you were always known as what?
My email was filmguygary@aol.com. And I actually gotten emails from customers saying if it did not switch to digitalguygary@wbhunt.com, they were going to take their business elsewhere. So after I heard much of that, I was forced to switch.
But I remember, I'm like, oh, Digital Guy Gary, that makes sense. He goes, well, I was always Film Guy Gary, always. And then when you told me, who are some of the people that you used to sell film to?
I used to sell film to Wolf. Used to buy 3,000 rolls for me at a whack. but he always wanted the same emotion. If I shipped him the same emotion, he'd be livid. photographers back then wanted the same emotions. I used to sell to Bill Silger, Arthur Morris, and several of these other big name photographers back in the day. Easily, I would make phone calls, and that's how I got hunts known around the country. I'd make phone calls just out of the blue, calling people, seeing they want to film, and they just, a lot of these guys just admired my follow through, and me, if they didn't order then, calling them back next time, remember exactly what we talked about, what film they shot, and I earned a lot of good long-term customers that way, and easily in a week, I sold about 5,000 rolls of film for hunts in a week back in the day.
Yeah, it was all the biggest name photographers, you know, they come to Gary, film guy Gary,
so. AOL.com. And they used to say, they didn't say they bought the film Hunt's photo, they used to tell people, when they told people their friends, they said, you need to call film guy Gary at AOL.com, that's where I buy my film.
That's awesome. All right, well, thanks Gary, thanks for everything you've done for us.
All right, thank you.
So I'm here with John Gerlach, famous, what are you? You're wildlife, nature, macro, you do everything, right?
Well, that's how I'm a little different than most professional photographers, because most of them are landscape shooters or wildlife, or they do a lot of close-ups. Well, I do all three equally as much, and in fact, I've written books on all three topics and do workshops devoted to all three of those topics. So I can't decide what I like best.
No, that's great, though.
I like everything. I probably like bird photography the best because I was originally a birder. And I studied to be a waterfowl biologist in Michigan.
Really?
But then I got into photography, and that got me involved with everything and butterflies and all that sort of stuff. The one thing I don't do is underwater. I never learned to swim. I might drown. So probably not a good idea.
You might want to stay away from underwater.
Yeah. In another life, I would love to do it, though. But that's what I do.
That's great. But that's got to make it fun for you, because I know you teach workshops all the time. So you're doing one kind of photography, and then you switch to something else. And will you do some workshops where you do all of those, some wildlife, some landscape, some close-up in the same thing, or not?
It's possible. But normally, one of them gets kind of excluded, like, I just did fall color in Michigan. It was almost all landscape because the wildlife's a little skittish there.
Right.
And we do quite a bit of close-up. If we get a frosty morning, we do a lot of frost-covered leaves or mushrooms. Usually the fall is pretty good for mushrooms because it's wet, and so we can do that. So, and then, of course, in my summer Michigan workshops, we do a lot of macro, dewy dragonflies and butterflies. Mm-hmm. In fact, northern Michigan is notorious for how good the dew mornings are, because all summer long it gets below 60 in the morning. We have great dew. And then in the afternoon we do waterfalls and landscapes along Pitchard Rock. So, but not so much wildlife, because Michigan is not real good for wildlife unless you're doing bird feeders, that sort of thing.
Yeah, not as many lions and cheetahs.
I do that.
I know you do.
I've led 40 tours to Kenya, and that's all wildlife, and it's way over the top. That's why I keep going back. So that's really a great experience, to go to Africa, the best game parks in Kenya, like Samburu and the Maasai Mara, mm-hmm. Lake Nakuru, really a great place to go. So I like doing all of it. And then earlier you were asking me about what I did on the program here at the Mike Motes conference here. And they wanted me to talk about flash, because I'm a real advocate for flash. Mixing flash with ambient light primarily. I don't want my picture to look like the normal flash shot, but I find flash does a lot for opening up shadows, but especially main flash, where you can use the ambient as the fill light and then use the flash as the main light, because that gives you tremendous control over the brightness of your background. You can do a lot of backlighting and side lighting with flash. There's so much you can do, and even now I figured out ways where at night, when you can use F2.8 and ISO 3200, I can use my flashes and light up objects 100 yards away.
Right.
And so there's a lot you can do, and a lot of times I'll flash a foreground with the night sky behind it and that sort of thing. So flash is a lot of fun to teach. I must be crazy, because I own 40 flashes.
That's more than Joe McNally.
I know it. I've got partly because I do hummingbird workshops in British Columbia.
Right.
And I've got six stations with four flashes each, so there's 24 in use at one time.
That makes sense.
But I like flash because it's like a sun in the box that gives me total control, or a lot more control over the light. And mainly I'm mixing it with ambient. and various. So most of my flash pictures, if I were just to show you the pictures, you'd never know I actually was using flash.
Uh-huh.
But because I mix it, you know, fairly well with the ambient light, so it looks more reasonable, more rational. It looks more natural.
That's your goal, right?
Just, that's,
I mean,
right.
Use a flash, but make it look like you didn't use a flash.
But on the other hand, when I do hummingbirds, I don't use any ambient light because I'm trying to freeze the
freeze
wings
it,
of a hummingbird. And the common question I get on that is, well, how do you freeze the wings? It has nothing to do with shutter speed. It's all about flash duration, how long the flash is on. And when you go set your flashes all like 1/16th power, 1/32nd power, the flash is on for only like a 20,000th of a second. And if all the light lighting the hummingbird is only on for a 20,000th of a second, even if your camera is set to the maximum sync speed of 1/200, basically you've got 1/20,000th of a second shutter speed because of the short flash duration. That's how we're freezing hummingbirds or bullets in flight or any of that stuff. That's all we're doing is flash duration.
Yeah. What'd you say in flight? Birds or?
Bird or bullets.
That's what I thought you said. Yeah. I wasn't sure.
Well, some people do bullets or eggs being broken by stuff. That's all done with very short flash duration so they can freeze the really quick motion,
Oh, that's so cool. So you were teaching flash, you do workshops. How often do you go to Africa?
I've been there about 40 times now, and the next time I'm going to go, we're going to take a year off, and then we're going September of 2019.
That's great. What do you got coming up after today?
Well, today I got a lot going on, but I'm going to Arizona to be another keynote speaker, and then I'm going to photograph on my own with a few friends. And we're going to do Bosque del Apache with the snow geese and the sand hills. I'm going to be doing the Bisti Badlands again in northwestern New Mexico. I want to get in to the King of Wings, which is the holy grail of landscape photographers in this country, because not many people know where it is.
I've never heard of it. King of Wings?
The King of Wings. It's a hoodoo about 15, 20 feet tall, and the wing on top of the hoodoo is like 30 feet long.
Huh.
So it looks like a giant propeller on it, but it's really spectacular. So I want to get in there again. And I love photographing southern Utah, the Slack Canyons, and get up to Bryce Canyon. Maybe we'll get some snow in November. So basically I'm going to be bouncing around the Southwest for the next 2 months on my own, just photographing. And I do a lot of writing. If the weather's not good, I mainly edit pictures and write.
Do you have a blog or for the books? You're saying for another
book? I don't really have a blog. I have a website, but I have a Facebook page, and that is a blog.
Yeah, sure.
Because I post a picture, sometimes two or three a day, and it's always about photo technique, and it's about where to go, that sort of stuff. For example, if you wanted to know when the fall colors were peaking in the UP, if you were following my Facebook page, you would know. Because I was telling every day how the colors are coming along. And so, but what I do is on my Facebook page, I include a lot of the new stuff that I'm learning all the time. Even though I've done this for 40 years, I'm constantly getting better, but I have some advantages in that I'm a person who knows the cameras really well. And Canon, I work with Canon now, and they're giving me gear, new stuff to try out. And then I'm always pushing the envelope, trying to say, okay, the camera can do this. What else can I make it do that they hadn't expected it can do? So I figure that kind of stuff out. And I just have fun doing it. I just do it more for fun than anything else. And it just, things come to me. And that's why Canon hired me, because they're reading my articles and they're going, boy, he's got all these neat ideas on how to use our gear that we hadn't even thought of. So they said, we better get that guy. So they've got me. And it's fun.
I love it.
And I enjoy writing. And it's easy for me. So when the weather's bad, I'm usually writing.
That's great. So what's the name of your Facebook page? How do we find it?
I'm not sure what it's called. Is it John Gerlach Photography on Facebook?
But if we search for John Gerlach, G-E-R-L-A-C-H?
G-E-R-L-A-C-H Photography. That's probably what it is. I haven't paid attention to
it. We'll find it. It's easy enough,
I think. The website is GerlachNaturePhoto.com. And go there, and that'll give a list of all the programs I'm doing. And it's interesting in that now I'm cutting down the number of participants because I'm older, and I want to have fewer people, and I'm not raising the price at all.
Because
I want people to be able to afford to come, and so I keep the price down as much as I can. I like having a fewer group of people. And the other thing I've found over time is that, frankly, back in the film days, photography was easier to teach to people because there wasn't as much to it. But now, when I start teaching workshop and I'm teaching focus stacking and flash and panoramas and all that sort of thing, there's simply a lot more to talk about.
And so, then a lot more post-processing, obviously, than film.
Yeah, processing, and I'm not good at processing, and I'll put in a plug for Canon. I shoot only raw Canon pictures, and I use the Canon Photo Professional software, their latest version, 4.71, and I do really well with that. I publish my pictures, I process them, I get book contracts, as many as I want, and I have nothing but success. And I tried to think about doing Photoshop, and I turned it on. I didn't even know where to move. There was so much in there. So I am the world's expert at launching Photoshop. I can launch it good after that.
And close it back up, maybe.
Close it up. There you go. So I'm not good with computers. I'm good with cameras, but not computers. That's my nemesis, but I'm getting better every day.
That's fantastic. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much, John, for doing all this. We're going to check out all your work and your sites. And thank you very much.
Okay. Hey, I appreciate it.
Of
thank
course.
You
too. Yeah. We'll see you next time. Thanks. Okay. Mike's going to be running the Macro Photography Conference again next October in Cleveland again. It's October 19th and 20th. It's super reasonably priced. It's $199, and everything comes with it, all the classes and all the shooting along with that. So make sure you follow Mike Motes at tinylandscapes.com and look for an announcement for that conference to come on sale for next October. Now, last year we did our first annual flower and garden photography conference, and it was at the Chicago Botanic Gardens. Mike Motes was one of the instructors. Charles Needle was another one of the instructors, and we had a great time. It was awesome. It's just a really different thing than Mike Motes' conference. Mike Motes, you see a lot of presenters, and you shoot in class, but we were shooting out in the field, and a lot of the teaching was taking place in the field at the Botanic Garden. Now, this year, for our second annual, so in 2019, for the second annual Flower and Garden Photography Conference, we're going to Longwood Gardens. It's outside of Philadelphia, and it's one of the most amazing botanic gardens in the world. And they've got these great fountains, but they also have this great conservatory there. So much room inside. If it does rain, so much room to shoot there. But all these other gardens, like 10, 20 other gardens to go shoot all in one location. So that's where we're going. And we have quite the lineup of instructors for that. First off, Charles Needle, who you heard from earlier, will be one of our instructors. Brian Peterson, the author of Understanding Exposure. Tony Sweet, Alan Shapiro, Anne Belmont, who I just realized I never interviewed her. She was one of the instructors on this thing. Sorry, Anne. Yeah, we love you. Other instructors at Longwood Gardens will be John Barclay, Jackie Kramer, Rad, Drew, and Don Komarechka. It's going to be, I mean, really, that is the most spectacular lineup we've had for any of the events we've ever done for out of Chicago. So I cannot wait for that event. And it's August 19th through the 23rd. It's 5 full days, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 5 days of shooting. It's at the Inn. The conference itself is at the Inn at Mendon Hall, which is just 5 minutes away from Longwood Gardens. So we'll teach our classes there. We'll do all of the critiques and the one-on-ones, and all the individual help will happen there. And then all the in-the-field help and in-the-field teaching sessions will happen at Longwood Gardens. So it's a little bit of both. It's going to be awesome. It's next August 19th through the 23rd, 2019. So thanks for making it through a super long podcast. I hope you got something from each of those instructors, and hope to see you at a future event. All right, see you next time. Bye-bye.